Today I'm going to talk about know, go, and grow. James 1 says, understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen. Can I hear an amen? Slow to speak and slow to get angry. Human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. So get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives and humbly accept the word God has planted in your hearts, for it has the power to save your souls. Lord God, help us. Help us to know your word. Help us to go and live it out. Apply it to our lives, regardless of our feelings, emotions, and opinions. It is hard to believe sometimes, but God, we do not know better than you. And I pray that we would grow in our faith, Lord. Lord, I pray that everybody here today would have ears to hear what you are speaking to us, starting with me, Lord. Help us, Lord, in your name, amen. For years and years, a couple decades, I have had arthritis in my shoulders. When I was up north, I went to the doctor, they did this MRI thing, they went to physical therapy, and then when I got done with physical therapy, they gave me this chart. I have this laminated chart at home of exercises I'm supposed to do. It's great. It's a nice green color. If it sits on my table, and I don't do the exercises, my shoulders hurt like the dickens. If I don't apply myself and do what they told me to do, I'm in rough shape. That's what James is telling you. How important it is for us and how relevant it is to today's Christian world that we live according to the Bible. More and more we see different pockets of so-called Christianity that have downplayed the importance of God's word because it is written by man, and we have evolved. You can pick any sin in the world today that you see projected on the TV screen, and if you do research, guess what? It has happened multiple times in the past. We have not evolved to a higher plane. We all have aches and pains. We have life struggles. Maybe you have spiritual arthritis in your shoulders. Well, guess what? If your chart sits on your table, or you only look at it Sunday morning at 9:45, then I guarantee your relationship with Jesus isn't going to grow as much as it could. That your faith is going to remain stagnant, and as much as we resist the word of God, the more that's going to grow. You see, there's a deeper level of relationship Jesus offers us, but we need to interact with him. That's why we do home groups. I mean, you know, I do home groups. I'm involved in a couple other Bible studies. I'm meeting Mike Plasky tomorrow and Mike Bartholomew and Plasky for a Bible study we're doing. I got another one I do with some guys in the church, and I like to hear what they have to say and how God speaks to them, and it really speaks to me, and it lifts me up. That's why when I talked about home group, it's not because that's my job in having meetings in July, but we need one another. We need fellowship. We heard Sheila say that, hey, I got to be in church. And I understand, you got to understand spiritual warfare. When it comes time to actually do it, you're going to have a hesitancy and you're not going to want to do it. Just like they didn't want to come up here and talk, they did. And people got touched. It's not about us or our emotions. So today I'm talking about, goes on to say, I forgot to add this part, don't just listen to God's word, you must do what it says. Otherwise, you're playing the fool. We need to read the Bible on a daily basis. You're not going to hell if you skip a day. Okay, I remember years ago I was at a leaders meeting with John Carter from Abundant Life, and he's talking about prayer, and he said, you know, some days I don't pray much at all. But it evens out, because there's some days, man, I'm just praying for hours on end. So you've got to read the Bible. You've got to make it a part of your life. Sorry, you have to believe what it says. I'm not saying you have to agree with everything it says. Because we all have opinions. We all have emotions. I don't feel like doing this. We babysat our grandson a couple days ago. There's things we had to make him do that he didn't feel like doing. He's 18 months old. His brain has a long way to go. No, it's 40 degrees out. You're not playing with this thing called a water table out in the rain. You will die of pneumonia. But I feel like it. A lot of us are 18-month-old Christians, and we feel like we know what to do. God says, it doesn't work that way. We got to trust him. And the last thing, we have to receive the joy, peace, and blessing that obedience brings. A lot of times, and you know, you have to gauge this in your life. A lot of times we struggle because we're trying to take control. And that withholds how much God can interact with us. When I put my hand up, he listens to me. When I don't make the Bible important to my life, and then things go south, it's kind of on me. First thing I want to talk about today, embrace being in the background. We need to step back and resist focusing on ourselves. James is talking about humility. Be quick to listen. If you were honest, when I read those words, some of you instantly have a face in your mind. And you think, I really wish this Christian brother or sister would listen to this, because man, do they talk a lot. I get together with my one brother, because he lives in Fayetteville. We probably get together 5, 6, 7 times a year. I pity his daughter. Why? She has to listen to the same stories that we continually relive, even though we've been reliving them multiple times a year for decades and decades and decades. Why? As human beings, we like to talk. Sometimes somebody's talking to you, and all of a sudden, they say something that triggers a past memory, and we all of a sudden don't hear what they say. We're just waiting for their breath to stop talking so we can relate the example we have, which is obviously far more important than what they're saying. Why? It's about me. And I know that's more important than what they have to say. But you know what God's telling me to do? Be quiet. I remember years ago, Pastor Mike Strahl, I was assistant, we're going up north for a meeting. He goes, I'm not going to talk today. Because it's a meeting of pastors, and they all talk. So God wants me to learn how to be quiet. And he did, man. He didn't talk the whole meeting. Amen. When you listen to somebody, you're investing in them. Ask them questions about what they're talking to you about. Show them that you're listening. You know, I've shared this example, so I'm going to go quickly with it. You know, this Saturday, we're going up north. My wife got invited to a baby shower. This girl we've known since she was born. She's in her late 20s. And the reason she has a relationship with us is because she wrote a Christmas card saying how once when she was 3, Melody sat down and just talked to her and really paid attention to her. And it was not fake. It was a real connection. So here we are, you know, 25 years later, and she's going to this baby shower. So we have to learn to to listen to people and let them know they matter to us. And when you have an example, and I'm terrible at this, that really goes along with what they're saying, learn not to share it. Because the graveyard is full of irreplaceable people. You guys are awesome. But when we're with the Lord, God's going to replace us. So, today we live in a world. It's easy to promote yourself. I can talk about this because you all don't do this. Something called Facebook. Instagram, I don't do, or Twitter, I don't know much about that stuff. Only thing I know is, doesn't everybody have to see what I cooked for dinner last night? Or, hey, my child knows how to go to the bathroom. Hey! Or, everybody needs to know my political opinion. My opinion? I love Jesus Christ. And I want to learn to be unnoticed. I want to learn to be in the background and I can build people up. And you know what? Only me and God are going to know what I'm doing. See, what James is teaching, a key factor to inner peace, is not making life about yourself. You know, verse 21 says, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your soul. Life teaches us to be self-absorbed. We have to resist it. Look at Adam and Eve. It was about them. We have to resist making life about us because when it is, it's shallow. I like baseball. I get tired of people hitting home runs and they think, boom. And they put on a show as they run around the bases. This one guy this week, talk about poetic justice. He's talking smack to the pitcher, then he got hit by a pitch, and now he's on the disabled list, which, I'm sorry, made me laugh. If you're getting paid millions of dollars a year to hit a baseball, and you hit a baseball, be quiet and collect your paycheck. That's why they pay you. But anyways, that's not the world we live in because it's all about me. Warren Wiersbe says, too many Christians mark their Bibles, but their Bibles don't mark them. I heard Greg Laurie had that comment this week on one of his podcasts. You see, Satan wants to keep us away from the Bible. Isn't it amazing how sometimes in the morning when I'm tired, the Bible doesn't seem that attractive, but oh, my ESPN app, I can read how my Knicks did, I can read how my Bruins did, but that just breaks my heart, you know. So why? Because Satan wants to, boom. I remember Pastor Joseph Venosha used to say, why do you think in America there's so many cool things on TV on Saturday night, or there's so many things to do? Because it takes our attention away from going to church and praying. Can you believe maybe we should be praying Saturday night for what happened Sunday morning? That's the enemy wants to keep us so distracted. I see it here sometimes, you know, I know, it's as amazing as I am, sometimes you're all fighting to stay awake, and then as soon as I say amen, you all come back to life. So I say, hallelujah, I got the power of resurrection. And all of a sudden, you stay for 20 minutes or half an hour just gabbing about the bills. And I ain't talking about phone bill. Examination is important. You ever go to the store and you buy something and you only get like a 50 or 100 and you give them that, what do? They take it out. And they hold it up to the light. Maybe, we should hold our lives up to the light. Does your life reflect the Bible? It should. Come to me, Jesus says. And guess what? When I do that, when I really give myself to the Lord and I apply myself, guess what? Sin, I'm not going to be perfect, but it doesn't have a hold on me. It will otherwise. When you think you can go it alone, newsflash, you cannot. If you paid $100 for something, let's say $500, you bought something, so you whip out all your money, and $475 of that was real, and $25 was fake, newsflash, you're still going to be guilty if they catch you. What are you saying? Don't be a $475 Christian. Be a $500 Christian. I've said this so many times in the last month. I am tired of Margaritaville Christianity. I'm not saying you can't have fun, but I'm saying I want to project Jesus Christ. I don't want to say, hey, I just want to have the party life. I mean, summer's coming. I got to buy my Hawaiian shirt, which I know Satan developed, and I'm going to go, woo! That ain't getting you to heaven. I'm not saying you can't have fun, man. I'm all about having fun. What I'm saying is, church, the day and age we live in, God has been saying this ad nauseum time and time again. It's time to get real. Some of our lives aren't where they should be because we aren't 100% all in for Jesus Christ. The Bible has to be my guide. How I talk, how I spend my money, how I live my life, what I say, what I take in. August 10th, 1979, Dick Beaumont went out with Melody Dockstader for the first time. I know what I had, what I wore, I know what she wore. You don't think I checked the mirror before I left the house? I didn't want no broccoli hanging off my teeth when I'm going to pick her up. You know what I'm saying? I didn't want my shirt half untucked, my pants unzipped. I had hair at the time. I made sure it was combed. I made sure, as good as I could, I was looking okay. A couple weeks, we're going to be married 43 years. I still check the mirror to make sure I don't look like a slob when I go out with my wife. Some men have to hear what I said and think about it. Don't take your wife, for example, and walk out looking like you just woke up and went to the gym. Because I love my wife, I still value how I look. Even though it's 44 years ago we started dating. Get intentional. Don't just glance at the Bible. Act like it's the first date, man. You're not just going to glance and walk out the door. You're going to make sure. Act like you're a teenager. You know, you're looking in the mirror. You make sure. I mean, you know, you just, whoa, look in the mirror. Don't just glance at the Bible. Know the Bible. Read the Bible. You know what? Do a Bible study with somebody. Say, hey, let's look at the book of, I don't know, let's go through the book of Jude. It's one chapter. You know, read it, and what does it mean to you, and what does it say to me? And I'm not kidding. Just pick one or two people. Make the Bible come alive to you. Don't forget what you see. So much sorrow occurs in the church today because people don't know the word, and excuse me, the world makes sense to them. This, what, you know, why do I a lot of times talk about sexuality, etc.? Hello, open up any news app, and that's what's going to be plastered all over. It is a battle. So you have to know what the word says, and then you have to be a doer of God's word. You have to live obediently. You have to live obediently. Devote yourself to reading and knowing God's word. If you're married, hey, you know what? Start one with your spouse. Start a Bible study with your spouse. You know, I don't read a psalm a day or something. Say, hey, what does this mean to you? And let's pray together. You know, I want to talk about finding freedom. And that's what God is really doing today. He's doing it through worship. He's doing it through the testimonies. Is God is saying, you know what? I want to give you freedom. Some of you are, the devil's having a field day with you. Fear has gripped you. Worry has really consumed you. And can I tell you something? I'm a worrier. I shared before, if there was an NBA for warriors, my mom would have been first team. And I got that. I can worry about things that were never going to happen. I was reading this one older gentleman at the end of his life. He's a Christian. They say, if you could change one thing, what would you change? He goes, then I wouldn't have worried about everything, because about 90% of what I worried about never came to pass. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the Bible, the law of liberty, and perseveres. You know what that word tells me? It's kind of sucks sometimes. When life is good, when I'm eating Stewart's peanut butter pandemonium, the word persevere doesn't come in to my head. Why? It's an easy thing to do. Give me liver, that's perseverance. So he goes, but the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. We need to read it, believe it, we need to live it. Faith believes and is led by the Bible. What do I mean by you don't have to agree? Sometimes I want to live this way, God tells me to live this way, so guess what I do? I live that way. Because I know I want God in control and not me. Knowledge without lifestyle is useless. You can memorize this bad boy. You can know it from Genesis to Revelation. If you ain't living it, big whoop. Because it ain't nothing. Does that sound harsh? Yep. Sometimes the truth is. You know, James goes on to talk about the tongue, how our words need to reflect our faith. This is a question I want you to ask yourselves quietly. Does your lifestyle reflect Jesus Christ? Does it reflect your faith? Why am I talking about perseverance? Because you're going to be tested. Faith is always tested. Faith never grows when it's happy and good times. Faith grows in the hard season. Sometimes you get stage four. And as soon as you get diagnosed, unfortunately, your brother passes. That stinks. When I leave this earth, I'm going to have a party. I'm going to be with Jesus. I can't wait. I mean, I hope he does it painless as possible. When I was a young kid, you get bored in the summer in Morrisville, so I'd dribble the basketball, and I'd dribble it on as many ants as I could. I want to die that way. I hope there's a humongous basketball and I'm a little ant, and somebody drops it on my head, in a quarter of a second, I'm with Jesus. Now, that would be cool, but I'm going to leave it up to him. Galatians says, my old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. This has to be us, people. But Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Let me be honest. I can be up here on a Sunday morning sounding like I'm all that. You don't think I go through this? Sometimes it's Sunday afternoon. Sometimes it's Tuesday. Sometimes it's Wednesday night. And even though I'm up here and I know what it says and I'm speaking, it doesn't mean I got this down pat. Because I don't. I need Jesus Christ to live this. You see, obedience brings the blessing of God. Samuel says, what is more pleasing to the Lord, your burnt offerings and sacrifices, or your obedience to his voice? Listen, obedience is better than sacrifice, and submission is better than offering the fat of rams. I know this is challenging times we live in. I know saying no to your desires can be difficult, but when we place our trust in Christ, he's always there to meet you. He's always there to give you the strength to go through. He's always there to help you. Will God allow more into your life than you can handle? Yes, he will. Now, he won't allow more temptation into your life than he can help you get out of. But what God wants is us to stop being reliant on us and to be reliant on him. As it says, a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. We need to know the word of God. It has to be important to you. It is. Pastor, I read it once or twice a month. Okay? As I said before, every day you don't read, please don't eat. Make a vow to yourself. If I don't read the Bible, I am not eating that peanut butter pandemonium. I could live on that and marshmallows, but I know it's good for me. We need to go. We sang a song about it in the streets. We need to let people know about Jesus Christ. We can't be ashamed. We can't be afraid. We have to let people know what works for me is my faith in Jesus Christ, and he will never let you down. We need to grow. That's why we are doing different things. That's why we have different home groups. That's why we meet. That we need to grow because we're in the season, as I've said, we've been in the long winter season. We're now in the spring season where God is planting. If you go to a farm in the springtime, man, they're plowing the fields. They're getting everything ready. They're planting and they're working. They're working. They're working. It's time for us to know God's word, to go and do God's word, and to grow in our faith. Would you close your eyes with me? Lord, I saw this really cool video. Oklahoma won the women's NCAA softball championship. And right after the game, they interviewed three of them. And I loved what they said. It's all about Jesus. This feeling of being a champion, it's going to leave. The thrill of winning, it's going to leave. But the thrill of knowing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior never leaves. Father, if I'm honest, there's a place where it challenges me to completely let go because I like control. I like to know the outcome. That's not what faith is. Faith is living in a way that we understand you do know the outcome, and I have to trust you in getting there. I thank you for this church. I'm so blessed by these people, Lord. And I'm so excited about where we are going. Lord, your church in this world, but in America, is under attack. We need to stick close to you, Lord. Father, just as if I don't do the exercises on my shoulder, if I just let that chart lay on the table, does no good. I need to apply it to my shoulders. We need to apply your word to our lives. When you say come to you, I know when I do, you help me overcome sin. And I know when I struggle and I slip up and I sin, I come to you and I repent and I seek your forgiveness, and I have it. And you put your arm around me and say, come on, let's go on. We're going to persevere. You're going to turn to me. I'm going to strengthen you, and you're going to be victorious in Christ. So I pray today, Lord God, that we would apply our lives, that everybody who's hearing this would not let it go in one ear and out the other and say, that's good for other people, because God is saying, no, I'm talking to you today. I know you're talking to me through this message, Lord God. I might be giving it, but I'm also receiving. So I pray, Lord, that we would open up our lives to you, Lord. Even with this fostering program, I pray that we wouldn't just ignore it, Lord. Say, Lord, here am I. Send me. What do you want me to do? Maybe it's once a month to write a letter. Maybe it's more to engage, to offer help, to babysit. Lord, help us to say, Father, I want to make a difference in a life, but I want to make a difference for you, Jesus. See, James goes on in the next couple of verses, saying, true religion is this, that you care for the orphans, you care for the widows. Lord, New Covenant is here to glorify your name, Lord. And I just pray a blessing on everybody here, Lord. I pray that those who are downcast, those who are struggling, Lord, that they would be filled with your hope, because you will never leave them. You will never forsake them, Lord God. Father, the times I have felt distant from you in my life, I have realized it's because I have been the one not pressing in. I have been the one not drawing near. You're always there waiting for me. So I pray for hope today, Lord. I pray that you would encourage these marvelous people, Lord, and let the name of Jesus Christ be glorified in this city of Oswego, Lord. So bless my friends, Lord. And they all said, amen. Blessings. Have a good day.